Hello, and welcome to this week's CXO Challenge interview on the IT News podcast. On the show this week is Andrew Crisp, the Chief Information Officer of Bendigo and Adelaide Bank. Andrew joins us to discuss the bank's new cloud training program called Unleash, an evolution of a program set up last year as part of the bank's ongoing shift to the public cloud. Please enjoy. Thanks for finding some time to have a chat. Interesting, the new workforce cloud training program. I've had a little bit of a look at some of the source content that was handed to me, Unleash it's called. Obviously, this ties in very closely with the work you've been doing around consolidating your applications to the cloud in the last sort of 18 months, or at least since the cloud strategy came out, I think mid last year. To begin, maybe can you discuss what's been migrated to date through that program and sort of how the new workforce cloud training program fits in with the cloud push in general?
We basically started, and you're spot on, Justin, good research there. We sort of went with the tech strategy in sort of, March, and went to the with the cloud strategy as well, and into the board into sort of June. And then really last year we started a big push in November and in, or October, November, really training our people. And we had November, the learning month. And then we also, while we're doing that, we did the 30 apps in 30 days migration for some non-material workloads to test ourselves to see if we could move really quickly. Since then, we've had some pretty big milestones. We went live with Open Banking, which is a pretty considerable program on the cloud that went live on the 1st of July. And we've had a number of other systems that we're in the process of migrating and consolidating to across doc management, product and pricing, collateral management type things where we've really moved from lots of different parts of monolithic applications in our previous world to API cloud enabled in the new world. And this Unleash program is really about building on what we've done in November last year and really going to the next level with it.
You mentioned the Open Banking platform. Is that also, that's on AWS, or is that some of your other platforms that you've stood up?
Yeah, so no, that's on AWS. And basically, people may be aware that Open Banking demanded certain response times from a customer perspective. So, we work with our partners in getting that to the cloud so that we could, as I say to the board members, bring all the data from the depths of our systems, of our core banking systems, and expose it so that our customers can access it quickly and easily and in lines with the consumer data, right? So, that was certainly a significant piece of work. It's probably the largest state we have on cloud at the moment.
It sounds like the cloud migration has progressed quite significantly in sort of the last 7 months or so. And obviously this evolution of your learning month, I think you called it last year, is a big part of that. And I think back then you mentioned something around 50% of the developers had been trained up in or upskilled in cloud at that time. How many more staff do you intend to train up through this expanded program? And will it be limited to staff in only technical areas?
Great question. So yeah, we did get through about 50% of the developers. We're sort of looking at 700 seats across the organisation. We are expanding it. I guess initially we sort of focused on architecture and development type skills. We're actually testing and learning at the moment with a bespoke class for business, and we had our first go at that, and we found we did a pilot. We went a little bit too deep. So Ash and Lauren are sort of working through how do we make it a bit more relevant to our business customers and actually bring it to life to them. So we really want to be able to talk to them about workloads that we've moved to the cloud and the differences that they'll be seeing and what they can ask for us from technology in moving more quickly for our customers. So, but yeah, the second one is looking at AI, really exploring more with our business colleagues, as I said, really building, getting the next group of people. I was at a CIO session today and we talked about that change groups is you get the early adopters, and we've probably got a group of early adopters and people who are curious, and we're really looking to, with this Unleash program, is to get the next set of people who are curious and interested and can see that it's making an impact and can see that we as an organization are going to be better by understanding the cloud, understanding what it's capable of, and cloud and APIs will enable us to move a lot quicker for our customers. And in order to do that, it's not just the engineers that need to understand it, it's a broader organization set so that we can all, as I said, move faster.
Right. So it's not just more people that you're training up in this expanded program, it's also the scope of the program itself has been expanded so you can look towards those more, emerging technologies like AI and machine learning.
Yeah, exactly. And it's about us becoming aware as an organization about the potential of how we can solve problems. And it's that case of creating awareness first, and from awareness you get connection, and then commitment. Part of this Unleash change is about arming our broader community with the understanding of what is possible, and that's what we want to do to help our customers out.
It's interesting you looking at non-traditional areas to upskill, because I remember Qantas as a recent example as someone who or a company that did something similar, and they looked at cabin crew and pilots and things like that, people who were forlorn during the recent lockdowns. Are there any particular areas that have shown greater interest in looking to upskill in cloud skills?
Yeah, I actually think it's in every organization. I find that there's a group of technical curious people who work in different business areas and will, through their business, want to continue to challenge and look at new ways of working and making that work. So I wouldn't say there's one group in particular that have done. We have previously focused on being a financial services organisation. It's really important that our risk team understands what cloud is about and what happens from a control and risk perspective, and the things we don't have to worry about anymore, and the new things that we need to focus on from a risk perspective. I've also been in situations where we get we actually need to teach the finance team about cloud, because it's a pretty different operating model from a finance perspective as well. Ollie Murphy, who runs our cloud platforms team, says that cloud's a mindset, and I really think that this approach, this training, and going broader is a really important way of people understanding the potential. But as I keep saying, it's not just about the tech or the engineering organization.
With other AWS skills guilds at companies, I guess like NAB have done quite a large program of work, training doesn't always result in certification. So I guess how many staff are you looking to get certified in AWS by the end of the year?
I said that we need to have 100, but they need to be outside of the cloud platforms team. The cloud platforms team, we're struggling to hold that team back. They're obviously the leaders and are wanting to support the organization. So they'll be right up there. So maybe that's 200 people in total that will would expect to get certified through the process. I think it's a really good point. There's a term that I love that the team have created for this, which is about building cloud confidence, is one of the key things that we wanted to focus on. And that external certification, that validation, that it's a real thing, you've had to study for the test, work through the pre-tests and all that sort of stuff, is a really important thing in building that cloud confidence, is to say that you've done the work and that you've got the external recognition. So that is something that we did focus on as a team when we set this up, is to say lots of people have been to plenty of training courses and haven't used it, but that certification requires a reasonable amount of commitment from the people involved, but it gives a great sense of achievement and brings us back to that cloud confidence thing that we're really focused on.
And 200, you say, around about, what's that coming from? What's the base at the moment?
When we started, I think there may have been less than 5 people who are certified. So yeah, it's a pretty rapid acceleration from where we were. We did start our cloud journey quite late, but we've got a really great team who are, accelerating it really hard, and we've probably taken a lot of lessons from other organisations and our partners along the way about doing it the right way and learning from other organisations, which has really helped us.
And the training's intended to sort of run the next 6 months, so before the end of 2021. is the intention, I mean, obviously the goal of training is so you can run faster with cloud. Is the intention really to ramp up significantly from next year, or are you managing to do that now?
I actually think we are sort of going through this cloud bubble at the moment with our training, and we are being quite aggressive in our approach to give everyone an opportunity to learn. And certainly from my perspective, I think we'll probably use this second bubble to win the majority of the organisation over, get people understanding it, have people committed to it. And I haven't really spoken about it, but one of the things that we really wanted to focus on here is to connect with the Bendigo culture. The Bendigo culture, I've only been here for 18 months, but is one of the most community connected organisations that I've worked with and work within. And the team have done a really good job of, sure, there's training and we're in groups of 25 when we do the training, but certainly it's supported by cloud community events. That we have, we've had great success. What we did learn in November, and I'd have to say COVID's been helpful to us, that we had these community events on Friday afternoons where people had nowhere else to go. So Friday afternoon doesn't seem like an ideal time to be conducting learning, but people would just be talking about what they learnt. And I think we started with a group of 8 or so engineers just talking about things and just left it as an open invite. And I think that those numbers got up to, I think, about 180 or 200 people at one stage just joining, and people would be talking. And one of the rules was that if you're going to present on a topic, you also had to be able to put it out there about the mistakes you'd made early on, so that we've got a very egalitarian culture. So that enabled people to, I think, connect and be curious. And then, yeah, as I said, I think this really wave of this second wave of training is going to get the organisation to a point of great understanding, and I expect it'll be that snowball that it'll be impossible to stop from that point.
You touched on it briefly before, but with the when you talked about the 30 and 30, I'm not sure if you mentioned, but in terms of progressing to some of the core components of your environment, have you touched on those at all, or have you left those for now?
They are elements that we've done. Obviously, we worked through with our regulator, APRA, on that, and have been in really great conversations with them, and been able to demonstrate through our cloud governance framework how we're taking a pretty measured approach with risk and ensuring that our controls are in place. And once again, that was probably something we learnt from other organisations' experience, that we needed to get our governance and controls really patternised and consumable by the developers, so that they weren't making the rules up as they went. So yeah, that was something that we did in our first year, and that was a part of our cloud and tech strategies, that we needed to get the foundations right so that people could really consume those patterns, which were secure. You know, we're basically, you know, working to a rhythm now outside of the consolidation from a currency and refresh perspective, where anything that comes up that needs to be, you know, refreshed from a currency perspective, we're sort of moving to cloud as a part of our health and vitality of our systems initiative. So there's lots of good work going on there.
You mentioned open banking. It's interesting, having just, I guess, we've gone past July 1st, which was the, you know, the sort of the deadline when banks were meant to come on board as data holders. And obviously you guys were, you were one of those banks that were there before July 1. In terms of next steps, what do they look like for Bendigo and Adelaide Bank? And how far progressed are the sort of the data recipient side of things, you know, ingesting that data?
We're looking at that this year. We've got a big slate of work just keeping up with the consumer data rights. The list of data that we're going to have available for our customers grows, so we're sort of working through that at the moment. We're aware of other organisations being recipients. We're sort of having a look at that and sort of working through where does that fit in from a roadmap perspective. We are actually looking to use the infrastructure that we've created for open banking for other capabilities within the organisation, the identity and consent management. We're looking to use the capability that we built there to really make our customer identity more secure and easier to use. So there are some, you know, some great opportunities there, and also that speed layer that we created, or the cache that I know some other organisations are using that term. We're looking to see how we can exploit that infrastructure to make things quicker and easier for our customers as well. So, yeah, as I said, certainly there's a big backlog of work from a CDR perspective, but obviously we're trying to find other opportunities to go faster for our customers, make it simpler for our customers, and make it more secure for our customers. So they're probably the two key areas we're looking to exploit from that.
Obviously, AWS is playing a big role in the bank's shift to cloud, but it's only one of the providers that you're using as part of your, I guess, your cloud ecosystem. Can you give me, I guess, some idea of some of the other platforms that you're using and for what workloads? And yeah, is there similar sorts of training programs also being run on to focus on those platforms as well?
It is, but being a financial services organization, it's critically important that, and we had this discussion with our board and exec, which is, we don't want to get caught in a supplier risk perspective where, albeit unlikely to occur, that something from a supplier perspective, strategic supplier perspective, went wrong. So we wanted to go with AWS first. We actually think their knowledge of the financial services ecosystem, including regulatory environment, has really helped us and fast track our knowledge with some of our partners on how to work through those, as I spoke about before, governance and control things. You're involved in some conversations yesterday with Google Cloud. We're looking to use Google Cloud for our front-end engagement layer, which aligns with the work that our Up Digital platform has previously done. And obviously, Google are a data and analytics world leader, so we really do want to start using them there as well. But certainly, I guess they're the architectural principles, but from our perspective, we've got another architectural approach, which is for material workloads and critical workloads, that we build them in a containerized way that we could move between our cloud platforms. And certainly that's what we've implemented from an architecture perspective, so that we could and we can move between those two primary cloud providers from an application perspective if the need arise, or if we saw some value that we wanted to take from either one of those. And I must say that both of those organisations are quite understanding that, in the business that we're in, that's a position that we need to take, and they're supportive of it. For the Google Cloud stuff, we are also looking at lifting our cloud capability, our training, doing the same thing. And probably the neat thing is that the AWS cloud work that's done, a lot of the learnings that we've had will be able to be reapplied. I think we'll be able to fast track some of that as well.
That was Andrew Crisp from Bendigo and Adelaide Bank. And that's the podcast for this week. We'll be back with an exciting new interview next week. Until then, you can catch all the latest headlines in Australian IT over at itnews.com.au.